If the main character of the Gospel according to St. John, namely the Passion, is Jesus, who of course it is, it seems the Best Supporting Actor award, at least tonight, would go to Pilate. Pilate, the governor of Judea, the political one, the team player, the dutiful husband who listens to his wife. Pilate is an honest seeker of the truth. He truly wants to get to the bottom of things. Earlier, before our reading tonight, Pilate asked Jesus the first time they were in his headquarters, "What is truth?" He honestly wants to know who Jesus is. But as you know, God's truth works differently. You may seek it, but you may look in all the wrong places and never find it. God's truth comes by hearing. Hearing of Jesus, hearing the word of God. As he says to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." 2 times Pilate takes Jesus away from the chief priests into his headquarters to privately question him. The first time he asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And then the second time, as we heard this evening, he asks, "Where are you from?" 2 very good questions. Honest questions looking for the honest truth. But the answer to these questions, "Are you the king of the Jews?" and "Where are you from?" do not have simple answers. Their answer is not obvious, but has to be revealed. Jesus gives Pilate a taste of the answer, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Of course, one has to wonder if Pilate truly understands what he means, having not heard Jesus preaching and teaching those 3 years. Jesus is saying to Pilate that he doesn't play by the world's rules. He isn't a king like this world might expect. No, his kingdom, indeed his kinging, is not done with a sword, through politics, through team playing, even being a dutiful servant. No, his kingdom comes when his word is taught and preached and heard. His kingdom comes when he speaks, when his apostles, his sent ones, bear witness. So also he answers Pilate's second question, "Where are you from?" If you are not of this world, then where are you from? Pilate is looking for the answer, "Are you from Galilee?" Which he knows is true. But that's the kind of answer one can find by asking his friends or his neighbors, asking around, trying to find out, maybe listening to his accent, as those who listened to Peter speak thought he was a Galilean. The only one who could perhaps give him the answer would have been his parents. Joseph, already deceased, couldn't answer. But Mary, having heard the angel speak, that she conceived by the Holy Spirit, she could say. John the Baptist could have said, but John's head was no longer attached to his body. The truth is, as Jesus has revealed to us, that he is from the Father. He has come from God, true God and true man, begotten of the Father from eternity. But when Pilate asks the question, "Where are you from?" Jesus is silent, for he knows Pilate would never understand this. not without further instruction, catechesis, teaching. But Jesus is also silent because Pilate, by handing him over to be crucified, is doing the Father's bidding. He's acknowledging exactly what the Father has in store for Jesus, what he has had in store for him since that first promise to Eve and the curse against Satan. Instead, Pilate asks of him, "Do you know what kind of authority I have? The authority to release you or to crucify you?" Of course, Jesus then tries to help him again to tell him the truth. Pilate, the seeker of truth, to tell them that he comes from the Father. He says to him, "You would have no authority unless it had been given to you from above." Pilate's authority is from God, just as Jesus' authority is from his Father. Pilate seems to get some of this anyway. In his supporting role to Jesus, he seeks to try to release him. Earlier, he had tried to release Jesus by the flogging route, to so mar Jesus' body, to lacerate it, to beat it, to make his semblance not that of a man, but of a worm, just as was prophesied, thinking that this would cause some sympathy from the crowd and they would release him. But that didn't work. So now, Pilate, not quite having gotten the answer he had hoped from Jesus, but seemingly on the way to believe, acknowledges him as King of the Jews before the people. "Behold the man. Behold the King of the Jews." I think he thinks that they will acknowledge him as truly the Son of God, as the King whom they had been waiting for. But the truth would be that Jesus had to be crucified. That truth had to be accomplished. It's not the kind of truth that Pilate expected, nor did Pilate really know that he was serving God. But the truth is that Jesus had to die for the sins of the people. The Father had willed this very thing. He had willed that he would be flogged, beaten, scourged, and that we wouldn't even recognize him as a man. He willed that his own people, the people, the Jews, Jesus' own friends, even his disciples, would not know him, that his own would not know him. But this seems a strange kind of truth, not the kind of truth that you would expect, not the sort of event that you would expect from the Son of God. His disciples didn't get it before his death and resurrection, and no one else did either. And of course, the seekers of this world, the rationalist, pious pilots of this world, those who are trying to discover the truth of Jesus, when push comes to shove, when this Jesus confronts them, the Jesus who is barely recognizable, and who dies for them, his own blood pouring out upon the ground, that truth is hard to believe. And you can only come to believe it if it is revealed to you. If Jesus himself speaks to you and sends his Spirit upon you for you to believe. Pilate seems to be on the road towards this kind of faith, although not there yet. He heard the word of Christ, he listened to it, and he calls him the King of the Jews. But when we hear him, when we hear Christ speak, when we hear him speak through his evangelist John of what he did for us, we hear not just a king, but a king who dies. A king whose blood is poured upon the people. A king whose blood is poured into the mouths of the people, changing them, redeeming them, uniting them with him. But believing a truth that is revealed in the Scripture, even with the power of the Holy Spirit, still seems a little strange to us. And that is why John, the evangelist, provides this slight note in his reading. When the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, at once there came out blood and water. Now, some would doubt that this actually could happen, I expect. And so John speaks as the evangelist. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And then he quotes the Scriptures. John saw these things happen. He is an eyewitness to the actual death of Christ. So it isn't some distant memory, some figment of the Christian imagination, some creation of the Christian community. And it isn't simply a word that just fell down from heaven. But it was a word spoken from Christ's own mouth, received into the ear of John and placed pen to paper. John saw these things with his eyes, he heard them, and he spoke them with his lips in the Christian congregation, and he recorded them for you. And so you can answer the question that Pilate, in his best supporting actor role, tried to answer: what is truth? Are you the king of the Jews? Where are you from? You know the answers to these questions. Truth is accomplished. It is finished. The truth is that Jesus is from the Father, and he died for the sins of the people. That is where he is from, and that is where he is going to sit at the right hand of the Father, and to come again in the clouds to judge the living and the dead. This truth has been revealed to you by the speaking of Jesus, by the testimony of John and the other evangelists. What is truth? Truth is that Jesus has died for you, and you will never see death. Amen.